to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. We're going to start with verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Chapter 6, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. Not laying again the foundation. There's one foundation, and that's Jesus Christ. And he is the foundation of the church. He is the Petra, the rock. He is the only foundation. And so many churches never get beyond this foundational teaching of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. They never get beyond the teaching of the doctrine of baptisms and laying on of hands and resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And you can go into those services and you can hear every week how you need to be saved or you're going to go to hell. And they can baptize you until they wash your skin off. And they'll argue about how you lay hands on people. And they'll argue about what you say when you baptize them. There was a church in Idaho, or Utah, one or the other. I always mix those two states up. Back in the 80s, called me about being their pastor. And we had a bunch of discussions on the phone, and we talked back and forth, and they were having a board meeting, and we had a conference call with their board, and man, you know, they loved the way I preached, and I sent them out tapes, and they just loved those tapes, and they really liked the way I preached, and so they're getting ready to fly me out there because they wanted me to be their pastor, and they were sure that was going to be right. And all of a sudden, everything's set to go. And all of a sudden, one of the board members says, "What do you say when you baptize people?" And I said, hadn't baptized that many people yet. I said, "Well, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost." And they said, "Can't have you. We only baptize in the name of Jesus." Well, whoopee. Foundation of dead works, folks. You got to grow up spiritually. It's time for the church to grow up. Why are we supposed to leave these foundational teachings behind? Because you're supposed to know all this stuff. This is stuff you've been taught when you were a baby Christian. This is stuff, I mean, if you're born again, you knew enough to get born again. Somebody taught you how to do that. Somebody should have been teaching you about righteousness. If they weren't, shame on them. You should have been baptized by now, so you should know how to baptize somebody. I mean, once you've done it, you ought to know how to do it, right? It ain't hard. Dip them in, say what you want them. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, dunk. Give them a word, praise God. Dead works, repentance from dead works. You know how many Christians are sitting around in dead works? And they're dying. You can't hang with the dead very long before you die. And it's time to get out of there. Why are we supposed to do that? Because we're supposed to be doing the live works. We're supposed to be doing what Jesus did. Jesus didn't go around all the time. You know, John the Baptist preached repentance. Repentance, repent, repent, repent. Jesus said repent, and then he healed them, and he set them free. He didn't stop with repent. And we shouldn't either. It's time for us to get beyond that and get into the works that Jesus did. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Starting with verse 9. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, with all patience and long-suffering with joy, being fruitful in every good work. There's so many unfruitful Christians around, it's just sickening. Oh, well, Pastor, they're not really unfruitful. Yes, they are. They're like that fig tree that Jesus cursed. There's just nothing there but leaves. There is no fruit. You can shake that tree until you die, and you aren't going to get any fruit because there is no fruit there. Well, are they Christians? Yeah, they're Christians. All they're doing is sitting there sucking up nourishment all the time. They're not giving out any fruit. If I plant a fruit tree in my yard and it doesn't produce any fruit, it's going to produce heat and a fire someplace. When it's season for you to produce fruit, you should be producing fruit. And it's season for us to be producing fruit. We should be fruitful in every good work, amen? What happens when we produce fruit? Then we're strengthened in all might according to His glorious power. Not ours, His. You can't produce that fruit in your power. You do it in His power. And it strengthens you. And it fills you with joy. It gives you patience and long-suffering. I'm telling you, when you're working with people that you've got to give fruit to, you need patience and long-suffering. And patience and long-suffering. And more patience and long-suffering. But He strengthens you. And He gives you that patience. And He gives you that long-suffering. And you can look at them and you can smile at them. when the flesh would like to just kick him in the head. Because he gives you that kind of patience. Go over to Romans chapter 8. Starting with verse 14. Law of believers, like the second half of this verse. Not many, you know, there's not many around like the first half. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, that's the part people don't like. They don't want to be led by the Spirit. They want to do their own thing. These are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. If you are willing to be led by the Spirit of God, he'll raise you up as an heir to do what Jesus did. The more I study what Jesus did, the more I study what Jesus said, the more convinced I am that John 14, 12 should be our standard, that we can do everything he did. That we can act just like he acted. That we can say just what he said. Because he has come to live in us. You know, when a person is demon-possessed, they live, that demon lives out its life in that person. And you realize it's not that person doing that, it's the devil. And when a person is Holy Spirit of God possessed, we should be able to realize it's not that person doing that, it's Jesus doing that. But somewhere along the line, we don't understand that. We can pick out a demon, but we can't pick out Jesus. What's the matter with us? Oh, well, the devil made me do that. Well, then get rid of the devil. But Jesus will do it. We have to learn to be led by the Spirit of God. And quit being led by everything else. We're led so much by our emotions, it's sad. And I say we because I'm in the same boat with you. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. You know, Paul's talking about the gifts of the Spirit here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but he leads off with a verse that has a tremendous impact, or should have a tremendous impact for every believer. But manifestation of the Spirit, and that word Spirit is capitalized. That's talking about the Spirit of God. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. For the prophet of all. Every believer, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every believer. That means that the Spirit of God will manifest Himself through every believer if you are allowing Him to lead you. If you are willing to do what He says to do. And sometimes it's sweet and gentle, and sometimes it's hard as a rock. Sometimes it's who touched the hem of my garment. And sometimes it's get thee behind me, Satan, to one of your best friends. But it's all because you're led of the Spirit of God, not because you're allowing your flesh to get in the road. And it's for the prophet of all. How many of us know it's good to profit? I mean, it's good to profit. And it's for the profit of all when you allow the Spirit of God to manifest Himself through you. Whether it's, oh, who touched the hem of my garment? Or, come on, Peter's mother. Get up. Or whether it's, get thee behind me, Satan. To your best friend. Because you remember this group traveling around together, that was a group of best friends. You know, we picture Jesus and the disciples as a group walking around, you know, with this holy rabbi walking in the lead and everybody following like a duck with a bunch of ducklings. This was a group of buddies walking down the road, man. They were friends. It was just like if you took your friends and walked down the road together. They chatted, they talked, they laughed. When somebody got hurt, they were all concerned about it. They were friends. But everybody has the opportunity to be led by that Spirit. If you look at Galatians chapter 5, starting with verse 16, you find out that being led of the Spirit helps you put your flesh under control. I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, that's pretty clear. Well, Pastor, I have such a hard time. I just keep falling back into sin. Walk in the Spirit. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, but you don't understand. I just keep falling back. Walk in the Spirit. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But it's so hard. Walk in the Spirit. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Well, yeah, that's what we're talking about here, isn't it? We do not do the things we wish. We do the things we don't wish. Then we end up having to repent over and over and over and over and over for the same old junk. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Well, You know, what are the works of the flesh? Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. I don't know about you, but that last list looked like a lot more fun to me than the first list. Why? Because that first list will get you in trouble every time. You want to meet people that really like that first list? Go down to Elk Street, right almost catty corner across from the courthouse. You can meet a whole bunch of people that practice that first list in that castle-like building down there, the one with bars on the windows. Why? Because that's what got them there, that first list. And we have to learn, folks, that practicing the fruit of the Spirit is what will get us the inheritance of the kingdom of heaven. I have 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, in my notes. But I'm just going to say this about it. Love is a choice you make. People say, oh, I fell in love. Like you fall in a pile of dung. All this marriage counseling I'm doing, and that's why I hear that over and over again. We fell in love, and now we fell out of love. Got up and washed yourself off, did you? I'll tell you what, people that come to me for marriage counseling get the straight dope. There's no beating around the bush. Guy came to me today and says, I need $500. I said, I could give you $5, go buy a snow shovel. There's still a lot of people who need their walks shoveled. Why? I need $500 too. Bless God. It's like the guy who was dying, he called his lawyer in and said, I want to write my will. I got 5 sons, I want to give them $100,000 apiece. Lawyer said, well, that's great, but you only have $10,000. How are you going to do that? He said, let them work for it the same way I did. Love's a choice. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. That's eros. Eros comes and goes. You can experience eros walking down the street. See something that looks good going up the other side. And experience eros. The Greek term eros. I'm in love. Fall in that pile of dung. But love is a choice you make. Agape is a whole different thing. It's something that loves people regardless of what they look like, act like, smell like, taste. No, not taste. Okay, I'm running through the senses. But
That's down in New Guinea.
Lord, forgive me and help the natives in New Guinea. Just throw this tape away. Love is not an emotional thing, true love. Why? Because if you let it be an emotional thing, you're going to ride a roller coaster all the time. It's going to be just a complete roller coaster. Because one day you're going to love one another, and the next day you're going to hate one another. Love is a decision you make. And you have to decide to love people. And when you decide to love people like that, the way Jesus loved people, you can even love them when they're crucifying you. Just like he did the thief on the cross, just like he loved the people that nailed him to the cross so much that he died for their sins too. Do you realize that, I have no idea if they accepted it, but he died for the forgiveness of the sin of nailing him to the cross. And if those people that drove the nails accepted the forgiveness there in heaven today, that's how much love he chose to give. And we as believers have the ability to love like that inside of us. That's how much ability we have to love that much. Oh, I can't love like that, Pastor. Yes, you can. Why? Because the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone for the profit of all. How do you do that? Well, you spend time with the Father, that's for sure. Look at John chapter 10. Starting with verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Spend time with the Father. No one can take you out of his hand. No one can take you out of his hand. The religious people were ready to stone him when he did that, if you read a little further down. He would have gotten stoned for that if God hadn't protected him. But what he was saying is, when you spend time with God, there's nobody can get you out of there. And then he proved it by walking off through the crowd when they picked up stones to stone him. Unharmed, untouched, just walked away. Imagine an execution taking place and the person being executed just walks off. And nobody tries to even stop him. And the executioners are standing there looking around going, Who are we going to execute? Where'd he go? Where'd he go? He just walked off. Why? Because he spent time with the Father. In Matthew, we see where Jesus went into a house one night and the whole town came out. And he healed the whole town. And it was at night. That took a while. I'm telling you, that takes a while to heal the whole town. And the very next verse was, and a great while before day, he got up and he was praying. Why? Because he had to spend time with the Father. And we do too. Because if we don't, we'll be led astray. Go over to Matthew chapter 17. Verse 21. However, this kind does not go out but by prayer and fasting. This kind does not go out but by prayer and fasting. Your power to defeat the enemy comes from prayer. What's James say? Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. First part of that, submit yourself to God. Well, this kind doesn't go out but by prayer and fasting. Is that not submission to God, prayer and fasting? See, you want to grow up spiritually? Pray and fast. Submit yourself to God. Go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Starting with verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting with verse 16. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, not for everything, you see that? In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what do? We rejoice. We pray. We give thanks. We can't quench the Spirit. We should not be despising prophecies. We want to test everything. We want to hold fast to the good things. And we want to stay away from all forms of evil. Amen? Why? So that we're preserved in the day of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We grow up spiritually. Babies can't make babies. Only adults can make babies. And somebody needs to be making babies in the spirit realm. And so we need to be growing up in the spirit and making babies in the spirit realm. Because the babies can't do it. That's why so many Christians and so many churches rely on their pastor or their leader to make all the babies, because he's the only one in the church that's grown up enough to do it. And he doesn't know how to teach his people to grow up. And that's why the devil's keeping them away from by the thousands out of here, because he knows I'm teaching them how to grow up. Because we have to grow up and get out there and make babies. Because the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand, folks. And it's time for the believers to get out there and reap the harvest. And it takes mature, solid believers to reap a good harvest. And I'm telling you that God has begun to change things. And whether you realize it or not, things have changed in the last few weeks. There is a difference in the spirit realm. It's a good difference. And a lot of things have happened and a lot of things have changed for the good. And we've been praying for a revival for a long time, and people keep saying, oh, it's coming, it's coming, it's here. You know, and when a wave comes in, you don't get hit with the big part until the little part gets there. Well, the little part's here. And it's going to keep swelling. And we have to have people that are mature enough to handle it. Because the power of God's going to knock us absolutely sideways if we don't. He's knocking us sideways anyhow. And the fun's just starting. So get ready. You might as well just get yourself prepared, because it's just getting started. I walk up here, I don't have a clue what I'm going to say next. All I know is that it's different. And it's getting differenter and differenter. So, get ready. Because God's moving. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you, Lord God, for your presence. And I pray right now in Jesus' name for supernatural revelation in this word tonight. I pray, Lord God, for a group of mature, grown, full-grown believers that, Father, they don't need milk, they need meat. Lord, I thank you for a people full of the Holy Ghost and power, full of the might of the living God. that are reaching out to those around them with your power. I thank you for it, Lord. And I pray right now in Jesus' name that that supernatural move of your Spirit continue and grow stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger in us. Father, I thank you for it and I praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.